I'm Brian Russo, and welcome back to Coastal Connection. In recent weeks, winter weather has taken full hold of our coastal region, with temperatures in the 30s and 40s during the day and well below freezing at night. For many of us, the biggest worry is higher heating bills. But for the growing number of homeless people in our region, when the thermometer dips below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, it's a matter of life or death. Officials at Diaconia, Worcester County's only homeless shelter, say the number of people living outdoors is unfortunately growing, because the shelter is filled to capacity, and there's a sizable waiting list for a bed. So for many folks, living in the woods is their only option. And while it's a well-known fact that there are homeless people here on the coast, very little is known about how they actually live and survive. Last year, we met one of those people, Kenny, a veteran and out-of-work master painter who lived in the woods near Ocean City for the better part of 2 years, and rode out Superstorm Sandy in nothing more than a tent. During the recent cold snap, I visited Kenny at Diaconia to see if we could go back into the woods to find out how the estimated 30 or so people in the Ocean City area who are living outdoors survived the frigid nights. We headed out on Wednesday evening. As we walked into the darkness, deep into those same woods Kenny used to call home, he told me a little about the man we were going to meet, and that he was overcome by an alarming sense of deja vu.
Certainly it takes me back, because I'm just one step away from it myself right now. I'm a homeless veteran, so is this man.
As we trudged further into the woods, blackness enveloped us, and our only lighting was a pocket-sized flashlight on Kenny's key ring. Kenny says you can't draw attention to yourself out here in the woods, because if you do, you'll quickly be headed to jail. Soon, though, we saw the tent that belongs to Ronnie, a former internet business owner and military veteran. We heard his voice before we saw him, because Ronnie was already bundled up for the night.
You want me to come out, or you all want to come in?
We'll come in.
So we climbed into the tent, but we were met with even more darkness. I couldn't even see his face.
Yeah, you just gotta fall in.
And the blankets that lined the floor of the tent were damp and cold.
How you doing?
All right, how are you?
I'm Brian.
Hi, Brian. My name's Ronnie.
Oh, well, thank you for having me out here and agreeing to chat with me.
Certainly.
So how long have you been out here?
About 3 years now.
So, you know, when we had this recent cold snap in the last couple weeks, man, I just, you know, after meeting Kenny last year and coming in and seeing where he lived through Hurricane Sandy and out here for a couple years, my thoughts just went to you guys that are out here and thinking about how the heck you guys were surviving. I mean, we weren't just having below freezing temperatures, but we were also having a bunch of rain and snow and sleet. I mean, what's it been like for you in the last couple weeks?
Last night was not a real nice night. Tonight's not going to be real nice either. It's going to be 27 degrees tonight.
This tent's essentially your only saving grace from the elements. Mm-hmm. Tell me what it was like last night when we had the freezing rain and the sleet, and it was wet and it was frigidly cold.
Well, thank goodness I have a tent that is semi-dry except for the moisture in the air. The blankets soak the moisture up right out of the air and they get wet. So you get wet just by laying on the blankets.
What are the top survival things to get you through a night like that?
Wear all your clothes. Lots of coats, lots of clothes, hat, hood. You don't take anything off. You just got to keep wrapped up. As a matter of fact, when you just came up here, I was laying down wrapped up because it's
covered up.
A lot's been said about, you know, the fact that there is a growing homeless population in this area, and it's something that, you know, certainly the resort area doesn't like to broadcast, but it's a harsh reality. Tell me about how you spend your days. I mean, tell me little things, like, you know, take me from start to finish. When you wake up in the morning, you know, how do you get food? Like, if it gets too cold, is there any place that you can go, you know, to find some shelter?
Just like today, it was too cold to walk all the way into Ocean City. So I just got up in the morning and I walked over to the mall and got in one place and sat there in the warmth, and got in another place and sat in the warmth, and just kind of keep bouncing around. As far as food goes, when it is decent weather, like we're supposed to have the next couple days, I'll walk into Ocean City and go to the churches and eat there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a long walk, and it's a long walk back. And I average 10 to 15 miles walking every day.
Tell me a little bit about what life was like before you were out here.
I lived in Florida and I had my own business, and when the economy went south, I thought I'd come home where my family was in case things went really bad. And sometimes you can't always count on family. Things went really bad, and then I started staying in abandoned shacks. And I mean truly abandoned shacks that, you know, kids are thrown rocks through the windows and the doors wide open. But you could go in, and this is during the snowstorms 3 and 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to get out of the snow. And next thing you know, I know the police are doing their jobs, but I'm trespassing in an abandoned shack in the woods. And I go to jail for 42 days, waiting for my court date, the time served. And what Worcester County Jail does is hand you $3 for a bus ticket to come right back out of here and do it all over again.
I think some people who look at the issue of people who are homeless and they think, oh, they should just get a job, and tell people what it's really like to try and, I guess, get over that hurdle of being homeless and then finding yourself some footing to have a place to stay and maybe get a job and get back on your feet again.
Well, it's real easy for people to say all you got to do is go get a job. But try to go with one set of clothes that you've been wearing for a month, you haven't had a shower for a month, you haven't shaved for a month, and get out of that tent and go get a job somewhere. And let them know that you don't have birth certificate, social security card, identification, you don't have any of that, and you live in a tent in the woods, and see how quick you're going to get hired.
I mean, tell me about what you do. I mean, is there anything that you do for fun? Do you read? How do you pass the time out here without letting your mind wander and really get the best of you? Because I would think that part of surviving the elements out here is also mental.
When I come out here, it's in the evening, and all I'm hoping to do is just lay down and go to sleep. And when the sun comes up, I get up and I go. And just like today, I was reading, you know, newspapers and people watching. And the summertime's not so bad because I can go on the boardwalk and there's lots of things to do. But this time of year, you know, I can go by the mall and sit there and meet plenty of people and talk to some people. And sometimes somebody will give me a couple dollars to get something to eat with because it was too cold today to go into town. It's just like tonight at 100-something street, they got free food. But how am I going to get to 100th Street
right from
where I'm at?
Is it really a sense of just kind of going to all the places that offer up food and donations and things like that in order to feed yourself?
That's pretty much it. Well, the clothes I have on, the gloves, the hat. There's people down there near the Sunspot every Thursday now that come out there with food and clothing, and they just give, they actually take it out of their own pocket and buy brand new things for us. And I was there last Thursday, and they were giving me canned food, and I said, I don't have a can opener. And they gave me a brand new can opener. And it's little things like that that help you get by.
Do you cook for yourself out here?
No. No fire.
Yeah, can't start a fire because that would let people know where you are.
No, well, that's also called arson because you're starting a fire in the woods. You cannot do that.
So if you're preparing a meal for yourself, where do you do it?
You eat it out of the can, or you get lucky and get a submarine sandwich. I had food stamps, and they were supposed to be good for 6 months. But now, after 3 months, my food stamp card don't work anymore. So I can't even go to the store and get a cold sandwich. And I have to rely once again on eating out of the can.
What's it like not knowing where your next meal is going to come from? Because that's a sentiment that, you know, many people don't have. That we take for granted the things that we have in our refrigerator or in our pantry.
It's really scary because my stomach was growling until 3 o'clock this afternoon today. I ate good yesterday, but that doesn't make it through the next day because you're so hungry. Eat all the food, even though you want to save some for the next day. But the next day comes, and you've eaten it all, and you just go out and try to do whatever you can do. I had a lovely person today gave me a muffin and a granola bar. And that's that. And another friend of mine gave me enough money to get a burrito with.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I know in talking to people at Diakonia and of course Kenny, who's sitting with us here in the tent, that there's a growing number of people who are living outdoors, and there's, I guess, a number of so-called campsites throughout this area. I mean, do you have a lot of interaction with other people who are in the same situation as you and living in a tent?
I have in the past. A lot of them have passed away. One of my good friends died a year or so ago, nearby, just trying to survive in the middle of the winter. Another one of my friends was trying to survive a couple miles away, and he got really sick and then finally went to the doctor and got diagnosed with cancer, and a month later he had passed away. It's not easy out here. And that's one fear I do have of just not waking up one day and somebody finding me a week later. I think about that all the time. But I really don't have a choice right now. This is just kind of the way it is out here. We struggle and we fight every day. Thank goodness I have a decent tent, but still a tent in the wood. And I've got friends that, I say friends, acquaintances, that said, oh, you have a campground, you have a camp, a tent in the woods. You know, you can have a campfire. Well, no, you can't have a campfire. Can't walk around with flashlights all over the place. You're going to attract attention, especially from the fire department and the sheriff's department. Then you're going to jail. And a lot of people say, well, you know, at least you got three hots and a cots in jail. But that's not my ambition in life, is to go to jail on purpose.
Are there people who go that route?
Yes, there have been many in the past. I heard a story about a guy quite a few years ago that come wintertime, when they put the Christmas lights up on Route 50 bridge, he went and cut all the wires and didn't care who saw him. That way he could go to jail for the winter.
Is it hard sometimes to keep your spirits up? I mean, it's the holiday season. You know, people are out there in the malls like you were sitting in today. I'm sure you saw people Christmas shopping. I mean, is it hard to keep your spirits up, especially this time of year?
My spirits are lowest in the morning.
Why?
When I wake up and realize that here we go again, the same thing. You know, at least it was a sunny day today. I got kind of warm. But, I never sit out here all day long just staring at the inside of a tent. I always get up and go somewhere.
I mean, it's interesting because you're saying that there's this element of survival, and that, of course, is the first and foremost of your daily routine. But then you also have, you know, trying to find food. But then there's that notion that you spoke of a second ago about, you know, trying to stay hidden and really trying to be a shadow in the town where you live. I mean, how do you do that?
Just kind of walk fast down the highway. I don't stick around out here in the tent all day. I don't want to be seen coming and going and coming and going. I leave early in the morning. I don't come back until the sun's going down. And then when I do come back, I stay in.
Do you see an end to living like this?
Well, things are going to have to change around the community. I do not panhandle. I've stolen food before. I went to jail 42 days. Over a bag of chips and a jar of salsa that cost $7.85. And they treated me like I was a hardened criminal. I was starving. I didn't have a choice. And I figured, you know, what's the worst that can happen? It was wintertime. So I went to jail for it.
Do you think there's anything more that communities can do to help people who have fallen on tough times and are looking for a way out?
That there's a lot of motels in this area that are empty and may need maintenance people. And I'm ready, willing, and able to go to work. I just need a place to stay.
Yeah.
I just can't climb out of a tent every morning with the same clothes on and go get a job in a reputable business.
What was your line of work? You said you owned a business in Florida. What was your line of work?
Well, I started it here and moved it down to Florida, and it was an internet business.
Wow.
And I did very well. And then the economy went south, and I went from having a brand new car and a really nice apartment down to $120 a week from $700 a day.
Wow.
And I knew everything was going south from there. My brother is still nearby. And my father on his deathbed told my brother how much money to give me, but he didn't put it in a will in writing. So, verbal agreement. First thing my brother did when my father passed away was talk to a lawyer. And the lawyer says you're under no obligation to give him anything. I told him, I said, this will change my entire life right here. You know, I'm going back into a tent in the wood. And he didn't care. But, you know, enough with resentments. It's just what people do.
Have you found any semblance of peace about how you got here in the time that you've been out here?
I'm not really proud of it, but yes, I do have peace with it. I was out today, and you know, I read the paper and got to get warm and got dried out again, because as you can tell, inside this tent, things are kind of damp. And as in this morning, when it was 30 degrees, it freezes. And tomorrow morning is going to be 27 degrees, and it's going to be even colder. But I've got to do the same thing again. I'm doing the best I can to stay out of jail. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just homeless, jobless. I'm penniless. Don't even have a penny in my pocket. And I'm cold, but I'm not going to try to get arrested in order to get warm.
As we said our goodbyes and climbed back out of the tent, Kenny gave Ronnie 2 spray cans of water repellent coating to help keep his tent and his stuff dry.
Partner, pick these blankets up and stuff, spray it on that too, and it'll help it from coming up through the ground, my man.
All right.
And as I followed Kenny out of the woods, my eyes focused on the illuminated dot of forest floor from his keychain flashlight, I was shivering, and the whipping wind hit my face like it had cruel intentions with each gust. It's in that moment I had serious doubts that I could ever survive a night in the woods in freezing temperatures. But I realized some people don't have any other choice. But I think what I remember the most from being in Ronnie's tent was his reply when I asked him if there was anything that made him happy.
I'm a true believer in God and Jesus Christ, and I believe in Christmas, and I'm a big believer in all that. You've got to have faith. And I mean, without faith, you're never going to make it out here.
And while Ronnie will likely spend Christmas alone in the woods, he says he has his tent and his faith and the belief that someday he'll be able to walk out of the woods for the very last time. To learn how you can help folks like Ronnie, click to our website, wamucoast.org. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection. We'll be right back.